Hi guys, this is Chris Mary Haltman, and before we start the show, I just wanted to say a couple of things. Thanks for stopping by so soon after our last recording, and of course, you can only do that because there is more to listen to. I wanted to try something new when it comes to comics, at least. I wanted to do comic book reviews kind of like in an audio form instead of writing it up. I just thought that it could be fun to do something different, and also because we could have more content on the actual podcast side. And so today I've invited in my colleague Gustav Kilgren, who likes comics as well, and we're going to talk about Dan Fogler's Brooklyn Gladiator Zero. But yeah, I think we'll just jump right into it. So without further ado, this is the Guild. Gustav, who is our special guest today to talk about Brooklyn Gladiator.
Hello. Thank you so much.
How are you doing today?
Pretty good.
Pretty good?
I have had a solid 8 hours of sleep.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I wake up and it's still dark outside and I get really, my body's just like, no.
Nope. Still Christmas.
Still Christmas. Absolutely. So, we're going to talk about a review, Dan Fogler's Brooklyn Gladiator, published from Chapter House Comics, which is a publisher in Canada. Mm-hmm. They've been around for a long time, but they're kind of revamping. And Jay Baruchel, I don't know if you know, from Fanboys and nope. This Is the End Man, is like the kind of like the CEO or COO of the company. So he's kind of bringing it into a new audience.
I see.
And in my interview with Dan Fogler, he talked about that's how he kind of got in. With Brooklyn Gladiator.
Yeah, I heard.
Yeah, so you've listened to the new edited version.
Yeah, I listened yesterday. It was interesting. But you talked a lot about Canada for a while there, and that the main character, the main protagonist, he was from Toronto.
It was
one of the selling points.
The selling points. Anything that has to do with Canada is published by Chapter House Comics. So this is written by Dan Fogler and Andrew Harrison. Art in this one by Tom Hodges. It sounded like there was going to be a different artist for the full series.
Yeah.
Because what we've reviewed is only the Zero, Brooklyn Gladiator Zero, and that's a way to kind of get people interested.
Yeah, can you explain to me a little bit more about Volume Zero? Because I am kind of new.
Two zeros?
In comics, so...
Well, before...
Is it like the pilot for a TV show?
Kind of, but it's more like a prequel that you don't actually have to see. Hmm. So you can have a pilot show, like a teaser. You know, sometimes they have like a pre-season teaser, which could be like an episode that's only like 10 minutes, 15 minutes. So you get to know the characters and the world a little bit, but is not necessary to follow the actual story. And before, you used to be able to read or get comic zeros by buying like a Wizard magazine, which mm-hmm. Wizard is a comic or is a magazine about comics. Mm. And sometimes they'd have like free issues.
Yeah.
Which would be zero. Some people collect them because they're, you know, fun to have.
Yeah.
But sometimes they don't always accurately represent what the story is going to be about or what the story is going to look like.
No.
So that's why. So this was, what we got was a review copy, which was 100 pages long, where the story is only played out in like 40, and the rest is just the concept art.
And then it begins.
Yes.
The most interesting part, the second part.
No. Yes. Well, yeah, the story is set in not too distant future, 2033, and as Fogler said, he wanted it to be close enough, but not far away enough and close enough that it's possible.
What do you think about that? Putting it so close to the actual future.
Well, to me, there was some positives and some negatives about that, because I would have liked to see it maybe be even closer, just because it feels like, I mean, if we talk about his concept, was that what if everything, all the conspiracy theories were true? That was kind of like the starting point of the whole thing, or how he came up with it. But then I would have liked it to be a little bit closer, because it feels like the development of all those things, like the wall and Donald Trump, and stuff like would that really hold for another 20 years from now?
I'm not so sure about that. But, personally, 2033, when you see the concept, the environment around, I don't see... is it New York City?
Yeah, it takes place in New York City.
I don't see it turning into Gotham so soon, but... I personally like to play with the thought of the actual future, but I think it's too close.
It's too close.
If he had called it like 2050 or something, maybe more appropriate.
Yeah, because I think that the development sometimes, it seems like, well, some things, like the concept of like this, the wall and everything like that, that should have been closer. But when it came to like the whole, like the system that they used, kind of like that, the shimmer kind of thing, that controlled everybody and stuff like that, that seemed that was a little bit far in the future.
Yeah.
So, and I understand why putting it in 2033, because it would be possible and it's relatable maybe. But I think some concepts became a little bit too Blade Runner-y to be so close.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that.
So the main character in this part, and which is going to be in Brooklyn Gladiator, the full story, which actually, as I understood it, isn't coming out until like next year.
Okay.
This is the Volume Zero is going to be published for public consumption in the beginning of April. But the actual first issues are going to be coming next year.
Next spring.
Yeah. But it's centered around John Miller, who is a Brooklyn Gladiator, apparently. He fights for a prize fighter of some kind.
Yeah.
In the underground.
But they don't talk so much about that.
No, that's basically just discussed in in around the story.
Yeah.
And a little bit in Dan Fogler's introduction. But you don't get a feeling... that I did miss, because what we get to know about John Miller is he's like kind of like a drug runner.
Yeah.
And that he wants to move to Toronto, that's his plan, but we don't really find out the gladiator part, the street fighter part.
If we take a look at the first like headline, you see him fighting like 8 people or something.
Yeah, he looks like he's in the octagon.
Yeah, and you feel like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
But then we don't get to see anything about it.
I think the story, the Volume Zero part, has a lot of good parts, but I think it's a little bit the artwork in the beginning and the cover art especially is a little bit
misguided.
Really, yes, it doesn't show us what I was thinking. I was going to read something completely different. I thought I was going to read something about like a more noir story of a broken man who is fighting for money for survival or whatever. Kind of like, did you ever see Danny the Dog? With
Jet Li movie.
Yeah, with Bob Hoskins.
I think so, but it's so long ago.
But kind of like that, kind of, because he's a fighter. Bob Hoskins
kind
of owns him, and he fights for money.
Yeah, he has him on a leash. Right?
Yes. Because I think it's called Danny the Dog here in Europe, but in America, I think it was called Unleashed.
Unleashed. Unleashed the power.
I don't know. Okay, but.
But I haven't seen that one, so I don't know if you mean the aesthetics.
Yeah, the atmosphere of the whole thing. That was kind of what I was expecting. I even read a story by a Chicago artist, or a Chicago author that has like a similar called Disintegrated, which has a similar feel to it, with a guy who fights for money in a way to kind of escape pain and stuff from his existence.
You mentioned the art before.
Yeah.
You who read more comics.
Yeah.
Do you know the artwork director from before? Has
no,
he done
this,
something else?
No, this particular art I have, Tom Hodges, I was not familiar with. What I was familiar with was Glenn Fabry, who's done the cover art, because he's done cover art for Preacher, amongst other things. And it made me feel like it was going to be that kind of hyper-realistic artwork that you can find in, like, Preacher. But it's more, actually, kind of comic bookish, like you'd find in, like, we were talking about, like Huck before by Mark Miller. It's kind of like, it's not, you can tell that it's a comic, and it takes away a little bit the seriousness of the whole thing when you don't have, it's not so brutal looking.
No. No, I think that I have read, like, some Walking Dead comics, some Batman Year One, and Huck, as you mentioned, and I think that his one is a little bit in between, like the Batman comic and The Walking Dead, because I think The Walking Dead is even more comic-y,
in
my eyes.
Because I remember when I first read Walking Dead, before the TV show came out, and then I read like maybe 50 issues or something like that, if that was even possible. And then I went, at least the two first story arcs. And then I went back, and then I stopped reading it, and then I went back, and then I got kind of like, wow, was the artwork really like this? Because I remember it as being a lot fancier.
Yeah.
But it's actually quite minimalistic if you...
Really minimalistic.
Yeah, it's really minimalistic. And this, yeah, as you said, it's kind of the same deal. It's a little bit minimalistic, a little bit more comic-y. Some points even a little bit like manga-ish,
Yeah,
I felt.
Because you didn't talk about that with Dan Pogler.
No, I didn't.
And I thought, like, well, I agree with everything you're saying, but the anime part is when you think about the, I don't know what we're going to call him, but the man who he makes the deal with,
the drug or whatever, he's like a rich
lord,
he's like a rich guy that seemingly, I don't know. He likes the good things in life.
Yeah, and I thought he was a real manga character.
Yes, he was. And that whole I think that whole exchange with him being chased by the police and stuff like that, or the, I don't know what you would call them, but
big,
like, kind
brother
of
the police.
Yes, the big brother police. That whole exchange was very, very Japanese.
Mm. Absolutely.
So, I mean, you can tell that there's influences from a lot of different areas. You know, on the other hand, the minimalistic artwork of Walking Dead, and also kind of like the action sequences of like a manga, like a Dragon Ball Z, kind of deal. If we were to, like, the story in itself is basically that John Miller is centered around that John Miller just wants to. Basically, he's delivering these drugs, this stuff to the drug lord. That's basically the whole thing we get to find. What did you like about the discussion about his abilities, that he goes kind of like to a different plane?
Well, I don't really like the astral plane, or whatever you call it.
Well, I think that's what they call it.
Yeah.
The astral plane.
To me, it made the story more scattered as a reader. I don't know. I think that in this kind of volumes here, if it's going to be a volumes here, they might have focused only on the one world. Now, as a reader, I don't know what's going to happen in the future. Are we going to be in the New York City, or are we going to be on a different planet, but
yeah,
he talked about like spiritual warrior.
Yeah,
when you talk to him.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That John Miller is kind of like a spiritual warrior, and I don't know if that's going to be play in. I agree with what you said. If you're going to have an issue zero, you need to focus on one aspect. I would have rather seen, I mean, there was a lot of talk about what the future is going to look like, about us being monitored all the time in a Big Brother society, about this shimmer where they project stuff on the sky to kind of sedate us. That was really interesting, actually, and I thought that maybe that would probably be like the next step in the future, that we can't, we've been so gobbled up by social media that social media is even going to be in the sky to sedate us. And I think that was a really good, that was a good insight. And we talked a little bit about that, Fogler and I, about that whole, how the government sedates us by social media. So that was it. And this whole, like, yeah, the Big Brother police, it became a little bit like, I don't know how familiar you are with, like, Judge Dredd.
A little bit. I saw the most recent movie.
Not
with
the one
Carl
with
Urban.
Not the Sylvester Stallone.
No, but the new one is really good.
Mm.
What about that, then?
Well, I mean, because in the comic book, Judge Dredd, oftentimes you get the sense that Judge Dredd, I think people who haven't read the comic book Judge Dredd, and you can agree or disagree about this, but you get the feeling that Judge Dredd is like really the hero of the whole story, whereas in the comic book it's not. I get the feeling, or I read Judge Dredd this way, that Judge Dredd is a symbol of an oppressive government, because people can't actually do anything without, like, Judge Dredd never really solves any crimes, because there's a crime and everything is videotaped.
Yeah.
So all he does is shoot the criminal. So it's more of, I think the movie with Sylvester Stallone better portrays that kind of oppressive government, and that Judge Dredd maybe isn't the hero. He's just a vehicle for a government that, or a horrible future.
Yeah.
So I think that was good in Brooklyn Zero, that they took kind of like the Judge Dredd trope and turned it on its head a little bit. But so if we were to, I mean, how did you feel like the story in itself kind of worked, from the point that we get introduced by John Miller, he's on the astral plane, which we don't really understand why he's out in the why he does that. There's some sense of Egypt in it.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's obviously probably going to play a bigger role in the actual comic, and we'll see what it does. He delivers these goods to this anime drug lord kind of guy. It's a trap, and he flees, and that's basically it. He dreams of going to Toronto.
Yeah. The volumes here, as we have said many times before, I don't know. I didn't think that the story was so interesting. I think that the whole concept about the society, which we have talked about before, is more interesting than the actual story and the protagonist. I'm sad to say.
What I would have liked to see, and maybe this will come later too, is that yes, that it be more focused on his kind of, I don't know, this kind of brawler, this cage fighter, underground cage fighter in this dystopian world, would have been more interesting to me. What I will say, and which I said to Fogler too, is that I really enjoyed the comic, the fast pace, the pacing in it, the use of. We'll have to use a comic book term, the decompressed and compressed storytelling.
He wasn't that careful with the timeline.
No.
I thought he skipped
a
lot of things all the time. And as a reader, when I am not that... when I haven't read many comics, but the other comics have been more like the next day or a couple of hours later. Here we don't get to know anything. He's just like running around, and then he's on the astral plane, and then we're back.
It's more of a modernistic take.
Yeah, really
on
modernistic.
Yeah. Does it make you interested in reading the actual comic?
Yeah, well, when you see the design, the gallery afterwards... I was interested because it seems like there's a lot of stuff going on, and he's going to go to different worlds. I think we're going to see the gladiator part, maybe. And we also get introduced to a few characters that we haven't even met yet.
Yes.
In the volume zero. So I would actually read this, I think. I do love dystopian novels overall. So.
Yes. That's always, and especially like the dystopian cyberpunk. We were talking about Jeff Noon. I was going to mention William Gibson too, but Neuromancer. The guy who wrote Johnny Mnemonic, that later became a great movie with Keanu Reeves. But I love that, and Blade Runner is one of my all-time favorites, absolutely. So, and you definitely get the vibe from it, even if this particular issue maybe doesn't hit a home run.
No, because I think you see so many different comics and movies in it.
Yeah.
And when you interviewed him, you really got this sense of that he has a lot of ideas that he wants to cram into one comic. When he talks about the main character, he mentions like Neo, he mentions a lot of main protagonists, and you're like, okay, you're going to fit everyone into this character, and if you do that, if you want to blend every main character in the history of comics or movies, you will have a big problem.
Yes. I actually absolutely agree. And he was talking also about that he has big plans for this comic. So,
I think movie.
He wanted movie, maybe TV show, everything. We'll see. Maybe there'll be an altered carbon style story too. We'll see. We'll see. I mean, and that's the thing. I think maybe there is some fear that you're not going to be able to produce that he won't be able to produce everything that he wants to produce. So he's trying to cram everything into this first zero to show like this is what the comic
it's
could
going
be
to be like.
Yes, this is what it could be. Maybe the first story arc will just like be focused on one part.
Yeah.
And then we'll see the astral plane introduced more later.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But you have read a lot of volumes, Heroes. I can guess.
A few.
But do we never get introduced to like the main villain, or do you think like we're not going to have a main villain in this story? That the society overall is the main villain.
I think the society overall is going to be the main villain, and then maybe there'll be obstacles along the way, like minor villains, like how you have in, well, if you take Walking Dead as an example, I mean, the main villain is basically the fall of society, and the zombies represent that fall of society. But sometimes you have main villains that come and go, like, you have the governor, and the governor who comes and goes, and you have Negan, who also, if you've read the comic, kind of comes and goes. Where
I've heard the name.
Yes. So there's always going to be like this little obstacle, and the problem with Walking Dead, and this isn't going to be a podcast about the Walking Dead, but the problem with Walking Dead is it's always going to be the same.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to try to survive. They're going to be people that are going to threaten their survival.
Never-ending history.
Yeah, but it'll just be like the same thing recycled over and over again.
Okay.
I don't think that you're going to get... I don't know. So
hopefully they won't have the same problem in the story here.
No, I don't...
Never-ending mystery.
No, hopefully there'll be... Some joy in the end, hopefully, but it also depends on where you want to go. If you want this to be an ongoing story forever, then it's going to end up being like Valiant's Bloodshot, where the same story basically is recycled all the time because you want to keep that character
it'll
alive.
Never get old.
Yeah, and then you know, I don't know. I think it's difficult to keep like I don't understand how. Like Batman and Superman and Spider-Man, they've been around for so many years, and I just don't. I have a hard time understanding how you keep them fresh. I mean, you can only beat the Joker so many times.
But isn't it like the kids, like they need some upgrade at the Batman? Now he's using cell phones.
Well, maybe
that's like that. So we know that it's in today's society.
Oh, maybe.
But you talked about these social media before.
Yeah.
Before we end, because I thought like the metaphor, I don't know what they call the drug smog or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that that was these cell phones, or that we are on the way there, because it's mind-numbing.
Yeah.
No, we don't react anymore to things happening in the streets or something like that. But the ones who don't use cell phones, the older generation, see like, well, we can see the life in front of us. So I thought it was like a metaphor between the older and the younger generation.
I think there's a lot to be said about that. Absolutely. So if you were to give Brooklyn Zero a like a five out of five fists.
Five fists. I would give it like 2.5 or 3.
Mm-hmm.
And I would, but I am really excited to read the volume one then,
mm-hmm.
to see the bigger world and to see if he explores New York more, because I really hope that the astral plane will be so big in the beginning, like it comes and it grows, not that it goes back and forth and talk to some Yoda inspired character.
No, I was going to give it, I'll give it 3.5 actually. I mean, I enjoyed the story overall, but then there's once you pick it apart and you look at the things, yes, it's a bit messy. I would have liked to see more concentrated on one end, maybe just introducing John Miller as a character, like getting to know him as a person instead of his abilities, and the society and how he relates to the society.
Mm-hmm.
So something like that.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, thank you, Gustav. This was fun, and I hope you come back and we can talk about another comic.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for letting me